Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to Culture Shock Entertainment Report's special Sunday edition with special guest, the remarkable, I always say this, business, musical genius, Peter Cook. I just cannot wait to meet him in person because he's just amazing, and just watching the work that he does is just amazing. And he's wondering, when are we ready for him? I know he's been to New York and other places, but most definitely the USA is definitely ready for Peter Cook to return and just travel the States, travel to the Deep South, back to New York, to Minneapolis, of course, Chan Hansen, Paisley Park. Wouldn't we love to see him and Prince work together? I know I would, most definitely. Prince himself, as we talked about a couple months ago, is a teacher. Those of us that love Prince, we know he's a teacher because he's been teaching us for decades, you know. But thank you for tuning in. And Peter really has a lot to tell us and a lot to talk with us about. So I have questions, but we're going to talk again before the end of the year. Hopefully before the end of November, but definitely before the end of the year, we're going to talk again. But you guys can call in also, 714-409-0614. But today we're going to discuss, you know, he's been working and touring and meeting people like Richard Branson. He's been working with Bernie Torme, I hope I pronounced it correctly, Richard Strange. Matter of fact, I'm not going to wait any longer. I'm going to play Waiting. I love this song, Doctors of Madness. So Peter has a lot to tell us. So I know you guys are saying, Beth, be quiet so we can talk with Peter. But I'm going to go ahead and play Waiting. A beautiful, beautiful recording. And a shout out to sports lovers here in America, in the UK, and worldwide also. I know listeners in the UK are big NFL fans. It's like we are of football and soccer and all of that. So, of course, you guys know I'm in heaven also, but I'm focusing on the show right now. But with back-to-back games, the Saints and the Cowboys, oh, my God. But I'm in heaven talking with Peter Cook. So thank you guys for tuning in and also supporting Human Dynamics, Academy of Rock, and it goes on and on. So I'm going to be quiet. Here's Waiting by Doctors of Madness.
In the afterglow, baby and me feel so free. In the afterglow, afterglow,
Of madness. Welcome back, my friend Peter Cook. Hello, welcome back, my friend Peter Cook.
Hello there, Beth. How are you doing?
I'm doing great talking with you. How are you doing?
I'm fine, yes. Thanks for arranging this. It's a lovely time to be doing it at 8 o'clock rather than midnight in England.
And it's in the afternoon here, yes.
So you've
so,
started
wow.
with the Doctors of Madness.
You've been doing a
fantastic.
Lot.
Sorry?
So tell us, Doctors of Madness, I'm familiar with the name and the group, and the group, and I've been studying. And in the 80s, I loved everything that came out of the UK, all music,
mm-hmm.
everything. Fashion, everything, and listening to this is a recent recording, right?
No, it's not. No, it's a long time ago.
This is
from
a back in the day. This is not something new that Richard.
No. The Doctors of Madness were a band that had three albums and evaporated just before the 80s. Richard has just recreated the Doctors of Madness. They did a special performance to celebrate the life and work of Richard Burroughs, the American playwright, poet, and writer, and they put it on in London last weekend. And as part of that, the Doctors of Madness did a once-off performance.
Yes, so according to is that Richard now, Richard from the past?
That's Richard
the
from the past. Yeah.
Wow,
that
sounds so wonderful.
That song's called Afterglow. And it's from their very first album, an album which really alters your mind. I mean, the read across in the States of people with the Doctors of Madness would be the Velvet Underground and people like that.
Yeah.
But the Doctors of Madness, like the Velvet Underground, influenced generations of musicians around the world that sort of, they in fact influenced the Sex Pistols to start, and a lot of new romantics in the 1980s, the sort of fashion
yes.
and pop art of the Doctors of Madness.
Open for them.
Yeah, and Richard tells this story. He said they stole the show. We were 2 years too late, really. They were a bit older than the Sex Pistols. We were several years too late, he said. They stole the show, he said, and then he goes, well, actually, it wasn't just the show, because we went backstage. They'd stole our money.
oh, my God.
So they were bad boys, the Sex Pistols. I mean, but yeah, so that was, it was an absolute joy to watch the Doctors of Madness reform after 35 years last week at the Festival Hall in London. And they had a whole evening of performers, including a brilliant duo called Raff and O, which we'll have to have on another time. And some other, a whole lot of other people on stage, too many to mention here, doing different, you know, performance art, poetry, dance, the whole thing. And I took a friend of mine along, and she was absolutely blown away by it.
Wow. I know, I was keeping up with you on Facebook and Twitter and from mm-hmm. your blog, and seeing like you, it was a touring party.
Yeah, well, there's a link with Richard Strange and Richard Branson actually as well, because Richard Branson signed up Richard Strange to his record label Virgin Records in the 1980s, and uh-huh. There's an amusing story that Richard tells. He went along to his boat in Little Venice to sort of play the record to him to see if he would sign him. And after the first track, he played the first track and he said, £54,000, he said. And Richard said, well, I'll hang on a bit to see what he thinks. So he played the second track and Richard liked it and said, £58,000. And then he played the third track and Richard Branson didn't really like that. And he said, £52,000. And I think up to track four, it went up to about £58,000 again. But Richard Strange knew what was coming after track four, so he settled at that point for
£58,000. Wow. That is amazing. to learn more about Richard Strange and Doctors of Madness, definitely visit his website. His website is richardstrange.com, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is, yeah.
And you'll be doing more work with him this fall, correct?
This project was done via a crowdfunding experiment where people, you know, the 60 people around the world who really wanted this to happen gave Richard the money to help him set the thing up, without which, of course, it wouldn't have happened at all. I was one of the people that sort of helped out with that. But I'd like to see if we can do something beyond that project with Richard, because it simply was an amazing evening. So I'm thinking about that right now. But we'll talk about that later on. But crowdfunding is also something that we've been using recently to help my other friend Bernie Tormey to actually raise the money to produce a double album, and he's now on tour in the UK, all around the UK. But we've done a similar thing there, where he set a project up on PledgeMusic.com, and he's reconnected with all of his fan base through this, because artists, you know, they with the internet, they don't always keep everyone's email and contact them every month. So, yeah, and Bernie had a long career playing with people like Ozzy Osbourne, Deep Purple's Ian Gillan, Atomic Rooster, and Dee Snider, and other people. But he'd sort of not kept in touch. He's a pretty shy musician. So when someone said, well, why don't you go back on...
I'm a metalhead, and I'm like, I know this musician. And all the people you name are groups that I love and music that I love. And I'm like, you're working close to this person is somebody that I've admired work. So I'm glad you're bringing it up. But he sounds like he's just like you. Sound like he's similar to Prince. He'd rather be known by his music than by...
Oh, yes. He has no interest in marketing.
Than by his persona or by himself.
He's not quite like Prince in that respect, because he doesn't do media appearances or anything. I mean, Prince does at least.
Prince does a little media, yeah, but if it was never to Prince, I don't think he would do any media either.
but
Bernie doesn't do any media?
No, he hadn't done. And so when people suggested he should write an album and do an album, he was quite frightened about how he would market it. So he got persuaded by a number of people.
Like you.
Well, he got persuaded by a group of people to try this crowdfunding thing, and within a day he'd got four times the amount of money he needed to make the album, and he was absolutely shocked by that. I mean, he didn't expect to get anything. That's the kind of guy he is. But anyway, he made the album. And you will be familiar with Bernie's name because in the 1970s, he appeared on a song by a group called Atomic Rooster, which I think was called The Devil's Answer. And that was a number one hit over here. I think it was also a hit in the US. So he's been on some pretty stunning records over the years. But he's not a natural promoter of himself. So we sort of, the crowd decided he had to get back on the stage. And so he's got a UK tour going now through October, right through November, playing most of the places in England and Scotland and et cetera. So, and he's got a new album out called Flowers and Dirt, which is a double album. He's just the most...
With 20 tracks on it?
20 tracks. He's an absolutely brilliant player of guitar. He plays things like you never heard before. He's also a credible songwriter. He's got some great songs on there. And I love the album. I had the great pleasure of playing at his garden party in the summer. And I get compliments sometimes from my management seminars where I go and do these. But that's all well and good. But during the course of the evening, he turned around and he says, "You're a pretty good guitarist." And that was worth 1,000 feedback forms from senior managers in companies. I just thought that was great. I haven't written it down, of course.
Wow.
But that was really nice of him, and he is a gentle giant.
Yes, me.
And I'm really pleased that he's done this album, and it's fantastic.
Wow, I'm glad you mentioned that about crowdfunding, because so you know people think about it. I hear so many successful stories and see success stories, and then there are a lot of us still need to be introduced to crowdfunding from Indiegogo and Kickstarter and crowdfunding, and it's just amazing.
It does work. I mean, I wrote a blog about it on my blog and sort of explained the essences of what you have to do. You have to be able to explain what it is you want people to invest in a very short space of time on the internet. So you've got to tell it quick. You've got to tell it in a way that's compelling. So you've got to write a good elevator pitch, I guess. And you've got to find the people that then are interested in what it is you want to do. But, I mean, one of the things that's really difficult in business is to kick-start a project, and I think Richard Branson knows that very well. So this overcomes the initial funding hurdle for people with a good idea. It doesn't work for everyone, but it does seem, well, it's worked for these two people pretty well.
I'm good at following instructions, just like recipes, and so I have a couple of projects that I would like to present doing a crowdfunding project or sort, but I've always heard and what I've studied and when I visit sites that it should be worded properly and promoted properly and be sure to let people know what you need it for and what work you're doing because I like to help, so people really like to know, how can I help? How am I helping you?
Well, it's a two-way thing. I mean, it's the law of reciprocity. You're helping someone to do something, but at the same time, you know, they've got to see a value in doing it. So, you know, I think a good crowdfunding project, people feel good about, you know, getting in partnership with people because in some ways they get something back. I mean, I've got a T-shirt. I've got an album.
Yeah, exactly.
And in fact,
on different levels, I know people get certain things. Yeah.
Yeah. I've also managed to get myself a gig out of it, Beth. So I'm performing in London with Bernie at the Borderline on the 29th of October here, which is going to be kind of the best day of my life for this year, I think. So that's fantastic. It is only for one number at the end, on the encore, assuming there is an encore, but I'm sure there will be. That's the sort of measure. And Bernie himself says that it's connected.
Definitely get that on video because I know it's going to be a show.
Yeah, we probably are. Mm. Bernie himself said that it's connected himself with the fans in a completely different way than when he had a record company, whereas you put the record out and you never heard from anyone. They've been making videos of how they've been making, you know, so you've been able to look inside the studio while they've been producing this and see outtakes, mistakes, demos, all the things that you don't see when there's a big record company. So he said the experience has been much more personal.
Yeah, because even as fans and supporters and newbies to his work, well, people who think they're newbies who have been listening to his music all along, it's part of like, okay, I'm part of the process. This is amazing to watch this.
Well, indeed, the whole idea is that the crowd are part of the project, which suits some artists, not all of them, but quite a lot of artists find if you can get that working for you without ending up having stalkers, then, maybe Prince should have a go.
Uh-huh. Wow.
But he's got Warner Brothers now. He doesn't need crowdfunding, does he?
But you're right. But knowing Prince, he'll come up with a project to do that. Because that's one thing we don't know about Prince. He likes to deal directly with his fans and supporters.
Exactly, and that's what he's been doing. I'm glad that he's now sort of made an arrangement so we're going to get some songs out there. But nonetheless, he's always liked to do things differently. And, you know, I did say last night that, you know, had he got a cell phone, couldn't he call in the show? But he hasn't yet. But there's still time.
Yeah, and I know on one of the talk shows, maybe Arsenio Hall, he asked him if he had a cell phone. He was like, why? Everybody around me has one. I could just use whoever's around me phone.
So when he says, how come you don't call me anymore, the answer is really, because you don't have a cell phone, Prince.
Good point. We have an answer to
go
that
figure,
question.
Go figure.
That's one of my favorites right there. Ooh, how come you don't call me anymore? Yeah, that's a good point. We have an answer now, 30 years later.
he answered one question the other week. But that was my answer to him on cell phones. You know, he's been asking that question for a long time, and I think it's pretty simple. So I'm absolutely delighted to be doing this tour, doing a date on this tour with Bernie. But I sent you a track from the album, Flowers and Dirt. Are you going to play it now, or do you want to play it a bit later? What's your plan?
I'm going to do my best to get it in on later. But you know what I'm going to do also? Since we're talking so much about Bernie, I'm going to do a profile of Bernie.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, I'm going to schedule it for next weekend, Saturday, do a profile of Bernie Torme, since you're telling me so much. And also, I'm just going to have, you mentioned some of the rockers and people he's worked with in the past. You and Bernie are welcome to call in. But I love doing profile shows. So you just gave me an idea of my next profile show, a show of recognizing Bernie Torme and his work over the decades.
Fantastic. I mean, I'm sure he'd love to come to America. It's a big country.
I know you have a busy schedule, so I'm going to do the profile show. If you find the time to call in, you and Bernie, you can. But I'll schedule another show for you, too. But I want to do this profile show and get this out there to the audience.
I know for sure he's touring next Saturday.
So that worked out perfectly. So I'll profile him next Saturday.
What I'm saying is I don't think he'll be necessarily able to call you next Saturday because I think he's got a show.
But he can listen to the archive show. I'm going to profile him.
Oh, yeah, we can do that.
Yeah, I'm going to do a profile show of him. Yeah,
okay.
This is a learning experience for me, and I've been talking with you and studying, and a lot of people know a lot about him, but then some people are new. And then you mentioned a lot of groups. A lot of my friends and I, we grew up listening to these guys, and a lot of my friends are familiar with Bernie Torme, but then a lot of them are saying, just like you're saying, where have you been? You know?
Yeah.
So that's very interesting.
So what else is going on?
A lot. You haven't told us about your meeting with Richard Branson.
Oh yeah, actually, yeah. I forgot that last night when we talked.
I don't know why you don't want to talk about it.
I didn't forget about it when I was in Romania on Friday. I managed to remember it then. But now, Richard, he writes quite a lot of articles these days, and he wrote an article about how you learn from your parents, and he invited people to write in and tell them their stories about what they'd learned from their parents. And I wrote a story about my dad. I could have written about my mum, but you had to pick one, so I wrote about my dad and pointed out that I had a very old father. He was 67 when I was born. My mother was 45, and she said I was a virgin birth. That fitted rather well in with
see,
virgin,
I'm 46,
I thought.
I have no kids, and so it's not too late for me to have a child.
I don't know. I don't quite know what that meant, but they seem to. I seem to be a bit of a surprise, anyway.
You were a big surprise. God, my goodness. Okay.
Yeah. So I wrote this story in, and I didn't really expect anything to happen. A few of my friends said it was really good, and the next thing I know, I was invited to go up to London to meet him and receive a copy of his book and what have you. And since then, Virgin Entrepreneur have asked me if I'd mind writing articles for them on their website. So it's been really, really good, and it was lovely to meet Richard, actually. I've long admired him. It wasn't on my bucket list of things to do, but nonetheless, I've long admired him, and I haven't been pursuing him in that way. But, yeah, it was just a piece of luck in the end.
Because I remember the excitement when I think he tweeted you or retweeted something you said, then this thing I know... You've been invited to meet him.
Yeah, I got an email from him.
Yeah, because I remember. I was like, wow, I didn't think I know you. I've been invited to meet him.
And then one of my friends, sort of poured a load of cold water over this. They said, oh, it was probably a stalker. It wasn't the real man. And for a whole evening, I was left wondering, thinking, oh, well, perhaps this is the internet. You know, maybe it's a fake Richard Branson. And I kept pinching myself and thinking, well, that looks like the real one. So there was all that. Yeah, someone spooked me on Twitter and said, no, that won't be right. We do that in the UK. We're really good at that, sort of pouring water on people's dreams.
Oh, my God.
So, but it was real, and
oh my God! I'm glad you told me that. I've always wanted to come there and travel there. But my niece, her new husband is from England, and they just had a baby. They live in the Dallas area, so I'm glad you told me, so I know how my new nephew-in-law he might prank me or something.
So someone's just tweeted me while we've been on because the Romanians billed me as eccentric British business guru, and
Prince
fan here, Julie McNamara, has just said to me, well, they say that an eccentric is also a genius, so you're up there with Prince. I feel better already.
Yeah, because what did you say to me on Facebook earlier today? Are we ready, the USA? Because you've traveled, you've been here on business before, right? But we want
you
to come.
Yeah, a few times.
Right,
Yeah, a few times. I've never been down south, actually. We've got some friends over there that are also very skilled in what they do, and they're quite keen for us to collaborate. So I've got a friend in Colorado called Russ Derrickson, Dr. Russ Derrickson. He's an extremely talented man, and we've got a plan to do some collaborations. And I've got a few friends in universities over there that are interested. Just a case of time, really. And I've got a great friend called Jim Donahoe, who writes for a Las Vegas newspaper over there, and he's mad keen on getting me over there. So I've got a few people looking out for it. It'll happen.
I definitely want to introduce you, and you would do wonderful down here in Mississippi, BB and Elvis Presley, like I've pointed out, and many others. Oh, my goodness. Universities, the different festivals. The state of Mississippi would definitely love for you. That's why I'm going to continue spreading the word and introducing you to people. And thank you for networking with me, because you've been an amazing online friend, and I can't wait to meet you in person. But more so, you educate us, and that's what we need. And at the same time, have a good time. what I like about your techniques also, you help people realize the musician inside of them, the artist inside of them. So I know we ran out of time, and I didn't know we were going to really talk on that, but how do you get people to do that?
What's that?
Pull out their inner artist. Their inner artist.
I think you just have to allow people not to be so stuck up with their business life that they start to notice the parallels between things. I mean, when I was in Romania the other week, I was doing an HR conference, and we were talking about attracting people and keeping them in your firm and keeping them wanting to come to work. And I was talking about the great theories of motivation. I said, you know, Frederick Hertzberg pointed out that money's not a motivator. It's just something that stops you being fed up. And I said, Prince always knew that. He said, you know, money don't pay for happiness, but sure enough, it pays for the search. So... money don't buy you happiness, it's sure enough pay for the search. So, you know, once you realise that people who have really got their heads sorted have often intuitively understood a lot of stuff that business authors and academics spend years researching, but I don't think it's all that difficult. I mean, sometimes it's nice to have the proof alongside what's in your head, but I think too many people spend all their day worrying about whether what they're doing is correct, and they don't listen to their heart. And I think that's what music can teach anyone in business, is if it doesn't feel right, it probably isn't.
Mm. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, because 9 times out of 10, if something doesn't feel right, it's not right. So many of us are so logical. You know?
Yeah, and you know, we can measure everything and get data on everything these days. We drown in that data. And we then lose sight of what we think actually matters. I'm not saying we have to run our life entirely on intuition. Data is a good cross-check on intuition. But we've got our head, we've got our heart, we've got our soul. And the three should properly be in balance if we're doing things right. And if we're just bombarded with stuff in our head, we may forget about what our heart is telling us and what our soul is telling us. I think music reaches down. I think Madonna said, or was it Immanuel Kant, the philosopher, music is the language of the emotions. Now, you need a cross-check on your emotions with your spreadsheet. And this is like the Star Trek analogy of Kirk and Spock. You know, Spock being the logician and Captain Kirk being the emotional decision-maker. You know, importantly in Star Trek, Kirk used to listen to Spock, but he didn't always follow his advice. I don't know if there's any psychologists listening. They may say that life is more complex than Star Trek, but I'm not so sure, you know. So I think we can listen to people who've worked really hard on their own personal development. Prince would be one of them. And they've often got a lot to tell us that makes intuitively good sense. Then if we're really something we're really concerned about, then we should go and get some information to make sure that we're making a good decision. But I think the opposite happens in business, that we just drown in data.
Mm. Well, what are your thoughts regarding Prince, since you just mentioned Prince? Because I've always looked at him, he and Michael Jackson, people like Paul McCartney,
It's good
businessmen, good business people, artists. But at the same time, they're good. They you know, the late Michael Jackson, Prince, Paul McCartney. To me, Elton John. To me, they've shown that they're good. And you mentioned Madonna, of course. I mentioned that in good business person. They're good business people. They're not just artists, but they're people. Because I've always thought Prince and Michael Jackson should do like more symposiums like you do. I've always thought, you know, I was like, wow, sometimes they should combine like symposiums with their concerts, you know, or with their make more appearances than just performances. You know, people want to see them perform, but filled with so much wealth of information that can help people.
That would be nice, actually, because, you know, performance is a one-way thing, really. Whereas a conversation is a two-way thing, and difficult to arrange with such large numbers, I agree, but there are ways to do that. Prince is now relaxing a little more and happy to talk to people on, you know, on shows. I mean, when he did Arsenio Hall, and he did that sort of, he told the woman to drop the boyfriend. I thought that was just hilarious.
Oh, yes.
And you see a completely different side of the person, and you know, you see the real humanity of Prince there and things like that. So I think there are some quite good experiments that some of those people do. But you're right, some musicians actually prefer not to deal with the business side of what they do, but great musicians are capable and competent in running their business, or making sure that someone runs their business for them so that they can get on with their art. But Madonna, yeah, she runs the music business. She's actually good at that side of it. But I know a lot of musicians that prefer not to deal with questions of business. They're often the ones that aren't very successful, unfortunately, because they, you know, they don't want to deal with the awful word money, or you know, marketing, or anything else that starts with an M. So they don't deal with those kind of things, and you have to look after that side. Even if you don't do it yourself, you have to get someone great that can look after that part of your life. So I think the great musicians either do it themselves, or more usually they pick really great people to do it for them.
Yeah, that's a good point. So overall, you do think he's a good business person. Obviously, I mean, because we talked about finance, you know, so he know how to hire the right people too. And then I know he's experienced some like crazy experience. I've noticed that he know how to hire the right people. And he's always been a good decision maker from the beginning, like you had mentioned earlier. He's always going against the grain, because I remember when I first fell in love with his music and his work as a little girl, and before he signed with Warner Brothers, he was like, hey, I got to wear all the hats. I got to wear all the hats.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
You know, they were like, hey, you're going to be the next Stevie Wonder. He was like, you know, I'm wearing all the hats. His thing was to be more like a Santana, but he was like, uh-uh. So that's a good point. He's always had that strong business mind and humanitarian side also, but many of us, many in the public does not realize that. And I think some people don't realize how successful he is business-wise. They know he's a wealthy artist, but they don't realize, I don't think, his success story. And the success of Paisley Park Studios still being around, and you know, just the behind the scene work that he does.
No, I think that's absolutely true. By the way, I meant to ask you, Beth, are we on for 45 minutes or the hour tonight? I didn't ask.
The 45 minutes, and we have a few more minutes.
Have we got time to play Bernie's track then?
I think we might be running out of time, that's why one reason why I'm going to do the profile on Saturday and play a lot of his music and talk about the artists that he's worked with.
Okay.
Beautiful song.
Yeah, I presume you can't play a bit of it then, just to give us a taste. Does the whole, I don't know how Blog Talk Radio works, whether you have to put the whole thing on, but the song's 3 minutes, I know.
I didn't really finish with the finish. For some reason, I had trouble with that song.
Oh, right. Okay, that's fine.
So
I
don't know how it's going to sound. I had trouble with the upload process.
Don't worry then. No.
Yeah.
That's okay.
And I was like, oh, my God. So I had trouble with uploading properly, so I don't want it to not sound proper.
No, that's fine. All right, no, I just needed to check. So this is like a live jam.
Waiting again when we conclude the program.
Yeah, well, whatever. Yeah, that's fine. But I mean, no, don't worry about Bernie Tormé this time. If you're going to do a profile, then that's fine. You can include it there. But
I had trouble uploading it, and the upload, I don't feel confident that it's going to sound right. Yeah.
Well, I do want to do a shout out for him in any case.
And
then,
I said to you before, talking with you is a big deal, and I don't want anything crazy ever, you know, to happen.
Okay, can I do a shout out for him then,
please make
for the album?
Out.
Yeah, so the album's called Flowers and Dirt.
And any websites
www.bernietorme.co.uk, and the album's available as a signed CD double album or a download off of Bandcamp. By far the best place to buy it is Bandcamp, because then the artist gets their hard-earned cash back. Whereas I've noticed through conversations that if they go through Amazon and iTunes, by the time the artist has been paid, it seems like a lot of people in the middle have taken out some of the cash. So if people want to give the money back to the artist, get it on Bandcamp, the best way.
Peter, can you repeat that? My apologies. I'm in private quarters, but I have other family members, and my great niece just went by squealing. I know you heard her. Can you please?
Right, so
I know the
www.
And so please repeat what you just stated.
Yeah, www.bernietorme.co.uk. The album's available as a CD signed or a download, and the best place to get it is bandcamp.com. But that's all on the website. So if you get on bernietorme.co.uk, everything's there for you to look at. I think you can find him also at bernietorme.bandcamp.com. But it's all on the website.
Okay. And what about Richard Strange? RichardStrange.com?
RichardStrange.com. He's not got any album material out at the moment, but he does run a monthly mixed art and media evening called Cabaret Futura, and the details are all on the site. And that club has launched acts like Spandau Ballet and various other people, Mark Harmond, a host of artists from the 1980s that are now very famous. They all started working with Richard Strange.
Okay. And you, the man himself.
Oh, yes. Well, for conferences and events, it's academyofrock.co.uk. You can find me on Twitter, Academy of Rock. You can find me on LinkedIn. You can find me in Estonia. You can find me in Romania and Germany in the next few weeks. So we're on the way to America. We haven't just got there just recently.
And plus, you have a YouTube channel. I love watching your videos.
Yeah, youtube.com/academyofrock. So I'm quite well spread over the internet, so it's not too difficult to find me.
Exactly. I love social media. Wow.
Yeah, I think if you use it well, it can be a force for good. I think in the cases we've discussed with the crowdfunding, none of that could have happened without social media. So, you know, there are some great uses for the internet that you can make of it, and it is what you make of it, really, and how you use it. I think that's the difference between people that, you know, find this medium helpful and those that somehow, you know, don't, is what you do with it.
And so it's the way you approach crowdfunding. And you're supposed to be consistent too, right? Because I think I've heard or read that it's best to be consistent too with your communication on your crowdfunding sites, right? Some people just create a site and...
Yes, unless you're Prince, who's systematically inconsistent. But that's consistent with being Prince, if you see what I mean.
Yes, I do.
So if you've jerked people around all your life, then that's consistency.
You're making me feel better, too, because I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe this song did not upload properly. So you're even making me feel better. Your effect doing this podcast is amazing. So just being in your presence, oh, my God. Because I'm looking at how you work with